Amen. I'm going to go straight to this so we can kind of, I guess this is already on. Is that correct? I guess so. I asked the preacher which button to push, and he had no clue, and so he doesn't use this one. I'm glad that you're here this morning. Thank you for coming out for the morning service. Now, I want to encourage you to come back tonight for the great evening service at 6 o'clock. Don't you miss it. Now, I know Super Bowl is tonight. Now, that means nothing compared to God. If that game's that important to you, that you can record it and watch it after the church service, but you be here tonight. If you miss tonight, I want to pray that God infest your armpits with 1,000 fleas and that you're miserable all night long. I want you here tonight for the great evening service. Now you come and let's be a part of the service, and let's do what we can to be here. The one service that you miss will be the one service that will change your life. And so you make sure that you're here. I think if you'll do that, I think you'll be pleased that you've come. And I certainly think that God would be pleased if we just obey his word and be in church when the church doors are open. If you get a chance, I won't say much about it this morning. Tonight I'll say more about it. I have a table out here with several of my sermons in CD format. I also have a booklet out there that I wrote in studying the Bible. And you can visit me out there after the services this morning. Also, in the Sunday school hour, the lesson that I taught is a chapter of a book that I just wrote. It's not in print yet. We are in the final stages of getting it ready to print. And I am right now, I'm signing people up for people who like to get that book at a discounted price. And if you'd like to get on that list, you need to see me, fill out one of these pieces of paper. You don't pay me now, but you'll pay me when it goes to the printers, and you'll get it. You'll get it for about a $5 discount. And so I'd encourage you, if you like that, the title of the book's called Blueprints for Life. I took 13 men from the Bible and taught lessons from their lives, just like what you heard this morning. And the Sunday school hour would be 12 other men. And if you'd like to be a part, get involved in that, I think that it'll help you, and it will certainly enrich your life. Take your Bibles now. Turn, if you would, to Luke chapter 8. Luke chapter 8. We're going to read verses 22 through 25. Luke chapter 8, verses 22 through 25. And once you have found it, let's all stand as we read the Word of God. Could you do me a favor? Turn these monitors up just about. I don't know if they're on a separate volume or not, but if they are, just a bit so I can hear myself a little bit better. Luke chapter 8, verse 22. If you have it, say amen. Bible says in verse 22, "Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep, and there came down a storm of wind on the lake, and they were filled with water and were in jeopardy. And they came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perish. Then he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water, and they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? They, being afraid, wondered, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? For he commandeth even the winds and the water, and they obey him." You'll notice there's a little phrase that Jesus said to the disciples in verse 25. He said, "Where is your faith? Where is your faith?" I want to speak to you on those four little words this morning. Now, I want to assure you of one thing. I know it's Sunday morning. We don't know each other that well. We're going to try to get to know each other this week. But this is what I want to ask you to do. I want to ask you just kind of, let's not put each other on trial. Let's just kind of just realize we have the same God. We're preaching out of the same Bible. And I'm going to try to help you this morning. And I know we're in a Baptist church. And we're worried about time. We're worried about getting out because we're all hungry. Well, let me help you out. I'm a Baptist and I'm hungry too. And I am anxious about the preacher going to take me to eat because I'm very hungry just like you. And so we won't be here lengthy this morning, but I do want to help you this morning. If you'll give me your undivided attention, I think you'll walk out this morning thanking God that you've been in church. Father, I want to help your people more than ever before. Would you help me, Holy Spirit of God, to somehow help thy people? Would you please make your people somehow understand the truth that you gave to me to give to them? Open my heart to your ears, to your mouth, and may you open their ears to what I say. Holy Spirit, speak to hearts. If there be someone here today that's not saved, I pray they get saved. Bless this next few minutes, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. A man recently came to me, and he said to me, he said, "Brother Domley, have you ever felt like God's left you?" He says, "Have you ever felt that you were standing all alone and that you was the only one standing there and you could not see God or hear God?" He says, "I know I shouldn't say this, but," he says, "I just feel like God has left me." I looked back at him and I said, "Well, sir, first of all, yes, I have felt that way before. I have looked around and I wondered, where is God? I have looked around and I wondered, God, are you anywhere? I wondered that." But I said, "Sir, let me assure you of one thing. He's not left you." I said, "He's right there where he's always been, right by your side." He said, "But I don't feel him." I said, "You don't have to feel him. You just have to know he promised he'll never leave you." He says, "But I can't hear him." I said, "You may not hear him, but he's there for you. Just have to trust me. God's word's true. It'll never fail." I imagine that's what the disciples felt like in this passage of scripture right here that we just read. Let me explain. What a day this must have been for the disciples. They've just heard Jesus preach two great sermons. They heard him preach the sermon about the sower. They heard him preach the sermon on the mustard seed. And I imagine they saw many people saved. I imagine they saw lives changed. Then, after these two great sermons, they then saw two great miracles performed by Jesus Christ. They saw Jesus. They saw him when he healed Peter's mother-in-law. They'd heard that Peter's mother-in-law was sick. Jesus went over and touched the mother-in-law of Peter, and she was healed. Now, I don't know if Peter was too excited about this, but everybody else was excited about this. That wasn't all. The Bible says there is a centurion. That centurion's servant had been sick. And the Bible says that Jesus, he healed that centurion's servant that very moment. Can you imagine hearing Jesus preach two great sermons? Could you imagine seeing the mother-in-law healed? Could you imagine seeing not only the mother-in-law healed, but seeing this centurion servant healed? My, what a day that must have been. I can imagine the buzz that was going around. I can imagine the excitement. You know what I'm talking about. After you've had a great day in church, don't you just want to talk about it for a while? After God has just met with you, don't you just want to say, "Boy, wasn't God good today? My, wasn't God fabulous today?" Isn't that how you feel when God has just done something wonderful inside of your life? I imagine that's how the disciples felt. And as they're walking by the shoreline, Jesus says, "Hey guys, let's get in the ship and let's go to the other side." As they get in that ship, they start going across the lake. Jesus goes to the one end of the boat and goes asleep. As he's sound asleep, I can imagine, I can hear the conversations going on. I can hear the disciples say, "Did you hear Jesus preach that sermon? Did you see the results that happened when he gave that invitation? Did you see the people, the hearts being touched? Did you see the truth? Boy, wasn't that an astounding truth about the sower? Wasn't that an astounding truth about the mustard seed?" I can hear them talking about the sermons that Jesus had preached. And then I can see another disciple bring up, "Hey, Peter, are you happy that he healed your mother-in-law, or are you a little upset right now?" And Peter says, "Oh, no, she's a pretty good lady. But he says, "I'm glad she's healed." I can see another disciple say, "Man, wasn't that fabulous? Wasn't that great? That centurion came. Hey, everybody else would have turned that centurion away. Jesus accepted him. And not only that, he healed that centurion servant. My, what a day that must have been." But unbeknownst to the disciples, they did not look at the sky. They were just wrapped up in the conversation. The skies were becoming black. The wind, now all of a sudden, was becoming a little boisterous. And before long, the disciples were in the end. They're right in the middle of a storm. Oh, All of a sudden, those sermons seemed like they were preached a long time ago. Now all of a sudden, those miracles that they had just seen performed, now that seems like a distant memory. They're in the middle of this ocean of a lake. They see the waves billowing inside of that ship. They're getting buckets and getting the water out of the boat. The boat is way going back and forth. The sky is black. It's raining. The winds are blowing. The thunder is sounding. The lightning is flashing. And I can see the disciples. They're beginning to think, we're sinking. We're sinking. And they're trying to get that water out of that boat. Finally, they've done everything they know what to do. And they cried out, Master! Master! Carest not that we perish. Jesus gets up. Doesn't say a word to the disciples. He gets up. Wind! Calm down. Waters! Hey! Stop messing around. Settle down. Storm, go back. Go away. Immediately, the storm was over. The disciples are rubbing their head and saying, what kind of man is this? He tells the winds to calm down. He tells the waters to settle down. He tells the storm to go away, and they all obey. Just a few minutes ago, we're in the middle of a storm. A few minutes ago, we're about ready to die. A few minutes ago, we're not sure if we're going to even make it to the other side. And now, we're all of a sudden, the sky is sunny again. All of a sudden, we're in the middle of this river, this lake, and everything is calm. Why? Jesus had spoke. That's why. All of a sudden now, Jesus looks back at the disciples, and he makes a statement to them, and he says, where is your faith? Where's my faith? Jesus, didn't you see what was going on around us? You asked me, where's my faith? You asked me, my faith, where was it? Jesus, don't you understand? We were about ready to die. No, where's your faith? You see, I don't think Jesus was asking them if they had faith. He was saying, where's your faith? He was saying to them, hey, I am the faith. Where's your faith? Your faith was with you right inside that boat. Don't you understand? I'm your faith. I was inside this boat with you. And don't you understand, disciples, as long as your faith is inside of this boat right here, hey, you're safe. As long as I'm here, it don't matter what storm comes your way. It doesn't matter what thunder may do. It doesn't matter how much the lightning may lighten. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, all Jesus is saying, hey, where's your faith? He says, I am the faith. He says, I was right there with you, right inside the boat. Hey, you don't have to be afraid when the storms of life come. Why? Jesus is with you inside of that boat. Let me give you a few statements and then we'll pack our bags and go home. Statement number one, everybody has storms. Everybody has storms. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you this morning, it's not just Christians that have storms. Everybody has storms. Doesn't it seem sometimes like we're the only ones that go through the storms? Doesn't it seem sometimes that the world never has their heartache and the world never has their sorrow? Doesn't it seem sometimes, and I know this has probably passed through your mind, haven't you ever wondered how come God's people always tend to think, it seems like they're the ones who always get the bad end of the deal? But may I encourage you this morning and let you understand, hey, everybody has storms. The world has storms just like God's people does. You see, the difference is we just live amongst our own people. We don't live in the world. We don't see the heartache of the world. But I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen, the world has heartaches just like we have heartaches. Hey, you don't believe me? Hey, I've got news for you. The lost people, their loved ones die just like our loved ones die. Huh?
You don't believe me? Go to the funeral homes this week and just watch those who have passed away and see the lost people as they bury their loved ones. Oh, they lost their loved ones just like we have. We're not the only ones that lose our loved ones. We're not the only ones that our babies die. We're not the only ones that our husband or wife passes away at a premature death. No, I've got news for you. The world has that too. Hey, you don't believe me? Hey, the world has sickness too. Just walk up and down the hospital. You have a hospital here in town, I imagine. You go to the hospital here in town. Hey, walk up and down the hallways of that hospital. Go room to room. Ladies and gentlemen, you'll find out the lost people have sickness just like we have sickness. And the lost crowd has financial problems just like you and I have financial problems. Hey, the lost people, their cars break down just like our car breaks down. The lost people have family problems just like we have family problems. The lost people, they lose their health just like we lose our health. Hey, ladies and gentlemen, I know, hey, stop feeling sorry for yourself. Stop thinking that you're the only one that goes through rough times. No, sir. Hey, outside of your house, I promise you, you could walk up and down the street where you live, and there are people right now this morning that are carrying heartache just like you carry. Why? Because everybody has storms. I said statement number one. Everybody has storms. Statement number two. Most storms come unannounced. Most storms come unannounced. You know, wouldn't it be good that God would send us a telegram that we're about ready to have a storm? We could brace for it a little bit better, couldn't we? But it don't happen that way. I think of this morning. There's a family. I think they're here. A storm came last night. And you're hurting. It came unannounced. I've got news for you. Sometimes when those storms come, it's unexpectedly. We didn't expect that storm to come, but it's come. You see, that's what's so hard about the trials of life, ladies and gentlemen, is that all of a sudden, that storm hits us. It's almost like what we would call a sucker punch when someone hits you right in the gut without you being able to prepare, and you've lost your wind, and you're trying to gasp for air. Hey, why? Because most storms come unannounced. I said statement number one, everybody has storms. I said statement number two, most storms come unannounced. Statement number three, Jesus knows about your storm. Jesus knows about your storm. Listen to me. Jesus, right now, whoever you are, he knows what you're going through right now. He knows about it. Hey, listen, Jesus was in that boat just like those disciples were in that boat. He knew what that storm was like. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, don't kid yourself to think that Jesus was sound asleep and didn't know. Hey, who can sleep with water splashing on their face? Water was hitting the face of our Savior, but he was laying there. I think he was playing possum just a bit, wanting to see what the disciples were going to do, waiting for them to come to him for help. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you this morning, I know right now you think God is sound asleep inside of your boat right now, and you sometimes wonder, hey, God, hey, don't you see my financial mess? Hey, God, don't you see I've lost a job? Hey, God, don't you see my health is gone? Hey, God, I've just lost a loved one. Hey, God, are you awake up there? No, may I tell you this morning, hey, he knows about your storm. Why? He's right there with you, right in the middle of your storm this morning. Oh, thank God, we don't serve a God that's a distant God that doesn't know. No, sir, we serve a God this morning. He knows how you feel. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrow. He knows the anxiety that we face. Why? He's an ever-present God for you and I. Our problem is we're so focused on the storm, we don't see him. We're so focused on the financial mess, we can't see the one who can get us through that financial mess. We're so focused on the health problems, we can't see the great physicians who's with, right there with us in those health problems. We're so focused on our loneliness from the death of a loved one that we can't see the great comforter who's right there to help us through that through those lonely times. We're so focused on fighting and the squabbling and the heartache that we can't see inside of our boat this morning. Our Savior, our faith is right there inside of that boat. May I remind you, may I ask you that same question that Jesus asked the disciples? Hey, where's your faith? Where's your faith? He's right there beside you inside that boat. Hey, if he's not breaking a sweat, you don't have to worry. All the disciples needed to do is take a peek over and see if he was starting to sweat. And as long as he's laying there, sound asleep, they should have just said, you know what? It's just going to all be okay. He's not worried. He's not sweating it out. He's not white-knuckling it right now. Why? He's in control. Years ago, I had my pilot's license. Years ago, I was taking a flight from Salinas, California to Albuquerque, New Mexico. I was flying myself. I stopped in Needles, California to refuel my plane. We then took back off. I got up in the air. We got out into the Arizona area. As I was flying through Arizona, In the Arizona area, they have in the summertime what they call monsoon storms. These monsoon storms come up just unannounced. I mean, just pop up. I was there flying in this storm. My dad was with me. Two teenage boys were with me in the back of the plane. We were flying to a conference. And all of a sudden, I looked in front of me. I mean, I saw the clouds come. But, you know, it's one of those kind of things. They just came fast. I saw the clouds in front of me. All of a sudden, I saw a solid wall of storms right in front of me. All of a sudden, I looked to the right. There's a solid wall of storms to my right. I looked to my left. I saw another solid wall of storms to my left. I then kind of turned around and looked behind me. There's a storm behind me. I'm thinking this isn't good. I'm right now smack dab in a little hole in the middle of some storm somewhere. I looked at my map to see if there's a near airport that I could land at. You know, you're in one of the, I'm in a Cherokee 180. Ladies and gentlemen, those storm clouds were going pretty high up. You can't only take a Cherokee 180 so high. And I looked at, and I was in a spot in the ground. Brother Blue, I couldn't find, there's no airport anywhere. I mean, it's now me and God, buddy. I radioed to the tower. I said, Albuquerque Tower. I told him my number. I said, there's a storm ahead. They said, we can see that on the radar. They said, now, and they read back my number to me. They said, now, when you go through that storm, They kind of geared me towards what they felt was the weakest part of that storm. They said, now as you go through it, they said, now we're not going to see you on the radar. We'll just hear your voice because the electrical storm will blur your image. Boy, that's encouraging. All of a sudden, we got in the middle of that storm. Buddy, I mean, that plane was going all over the place. Every place but where I wanted it to go. We were going left and right, up and down. I mean, that wind was just, that storm was just moving that little plane all over the place. And finally, we hit this one little pocket that the plane just dropped 1,000, I mean, just started free falling 1,000 feet. My dad had his briefcase in his lap, and it was such a sudden drop that the briefcase actually went up and slapped the top of the airplane. Those teenage boys in the back, oh, God. I mean, I'm telling the truth right now. I'm not preaching. They were in the back. They're saying, oh, God, I don't want to die. Oh, God. They thought we're going to die. My dad looked over at me. He wanted to see how the pilot was doing inside the storm. He looked at me and he says, we're going to be okay, Alan. I lied. I said, we're just fine. We're just fine. I did everything I could not to white-knuckle that yoke on that airplane because I knew if I panic, everyone else panics. Ladies and gentlemen, let me help you out. The pilot of your plane this morning is Jesus Christ. And may I say, he knows that storm, and he's not white-knuckling it. He's not sweating right now. He knows what you're going through right now. Thank God. I serve a God this morning. Hey, he knows what we're going through. He knows how you feel. He knows what you're facing right now. Why? Because he's with you inside that storm.
I said, statement number one, everybody has storms. I said, statement number two, most storms come unannounced.
As long as your faith is in the boat, you're saved. So what do you mean, preacher? May I quote a verse to you? God says in Hebrews 13, I will never leave thee nor forsake thee.
Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, Jesus said one thing. He says, I'm not getting out of this boat. I'm in the storm with you all the way to the end. It does not matter what your storm is. He says, I'm with you to the end.
Yes.
Hey! Jumping ship is not the answer.
That's right.
You say, but it's tough. I know it. But don't you quit it. I'm not talking that you can lose your salvation. No, sir. You can never lose your salvation. Once you're saved, you're always saved. But I got news for you, ladies and gentlemen. What happens inside of life, sometimes the trials come. And boy, doesn't the devil come? Doesn't he try to whisper inside of your ear and tell you, well, what's serving God? Look at this serving God. It's not done anything for you. Look what you're going through. May I say, like my instructor told me when I was learning how to fly. He says, Alan, when you get in a storm, he says, let me tell you something. He says, you keep going forward, you don't turn around. He says, because if you turn around, you may have gone through the majority of the storm already. He says, you keep going forward.
Right.
Keep going forward. Keep going forward. Why? Because you're saved as long as you're in the boat.
That's right. Amen.
Ladies and gentlemen, may I say, and let me just talk, if I can, to a few people this morning. May I say to that single parent this morning, that's struggling, trying to raise kids by themselves. May I say to you, don't jump ship. Why? Because your faith is with you inside the boat.
Yes.
You say, but Brother Donnelly, I've been trying to raise these kids all by myself. And preacher, I don't understand how I feel like I'm pulling. I feel like I'm about ready to go crazy trying to help these kids. May I say to that single parent this morning, I know, hey, it's got to be tough, but I know I don't understand what you're going through, but I know one person that does know what you're going through. And I don't know why you're having to raise those kids by yourself, but may I say, hey, Jesus is with you inside that boat. Hey, don't jump ship, single parent. Why? Jesus is with you in the boat.
Yes.
May I say to that person, that married person, that you're trying to do right, and your mate could care less about how they live their life? You know what I'm talking about. You're here this morning. Your mate is at home. You're trying to do right. Your mate could care less about doing right. You've done everything you can. You prayed. You begged. You come to the preacher and say, preacher, what do I do? He says, just stay faithful. Just stay faithful. Sometimes doesn't it seem like your faithfulness is getting you nowhere? And sometimes you wonder, I don't know if I can take another day. May I say to that one person or two or three this morning, hey, you're trying to be right, and your husband or your wife can care less. Hey, don't jump ship. Why? Your faith is with you inside the boat. May I say to that one this morning, your mates just left you. I don't know why they left you, but they did. I don't understand the purpose of them leaving you. Now you're alone inside of a house. Now you're there. And you wonder, where's God? Where's God? Your mates just left you and you're lonely. And I say to that one person this morning, I know it's got to hurt inside. I know you tried to do right, what's right. I understand there's always two sides to every story. But may I say to you this morning, hey, that person, your husband just left you maybe for another woman. Or your wife just left you maybe for another man. And you're there. You're hurt. And you wonder, I don't think I can take another day. And you're thinking, you're just this close to jumping ship. May I say, stay inside the ship. Hey, you keep coming to church Sunday morning and Sunday night and Wednesday night. And you keep reading your Bible. And you keep praying. And you keep soul winning. And you keep your Sunday school class. Why? Your faith is with you inside of that boat.
May I say to the Christian who's just lost their job, don't jump ship. He knows your financial situation. Oh, I know the economy here in old Michigan's not the greatest economy in all the world. No secret. I understand jobs have been lost. I understand that. I know some of you, you're worried. Is this the week I get the pink slip? Is this the week I lose my job? And you worry. And you fret. May I help you out? God promised us to supply all your need in the bad as well as he does in the good. I know sometimes we live by, we're fleshly humans, and sometimes we get so wrapped up inside, but may I just say to you this morning, hey, Jesus is with you in the boat, and hey, the Bible says, that the psalmist said he's never seen God's seed begging bread. May I say, God will take care of you. Hey, don't you jump ship. You say, but Brother Donnelly, since I started serving God, man, my life become a wreck and heartache and sorrow and turmoil. Yes, sir, but don't jump ship. I say to that family member, your family's turned on you because you got saved. You know, you thought getting saved, your family would get excited about it. You hadn't told them, and now that you're the black sheep of the family. Oh, you go to that Berean Baptist church? You go to that old crazy church? And I say to you this morning, Jesus knows what it's like to have his own turn on him.
That's right.
He understands it. You say, but Brother Duncan, I was raised a certain religion. I got saved. I saw what salvation was truly all about. And I thought I wanted my family to get saved. I went and told them. And they just told me. They've almost had a funeral. They've come short of having a funeral. They don't acknowledge me anymore. They don't talk about me anymore. I just want my family to love me. I understand that. And God understands it. May I say, hey, don't jump ship. Don't jump ship. Why? He sees you. He knows what you're going through right now.
Amen.
I come to that one. I come to that parent who's struggling with your child's health. Don't jump ship. He's with you inside the boat.
Yes.
I come to that family who's just lost a loved one. You hear this morning. And the truth is, you're hearing half of my sermon because your heart's so broken. You're wondering about your daddy. A husband. A brother. I know how you feel. I mean, I just lost my mama just a couple months ago. I know it hurts. I know the shock is there. May I say to you this morning, may I say, there's a God in heaven who knows what you're going through. Look at me now. There's a God in heaven. He knows your pain. He knows your sorrow. He knows how you feel right now as your heart is broken. Hey, this is not time to jump ship. Why? Your faith is with you right now. Oh, may I say to that family and those who are grieving, you're just about ready to experience something that others have not yet experienced. And that's the grace of God and the comfort of God. And you're going to find out that God's going to be ever present in a time of need. Hey, just trust him. Stay inside that boat. I commend you for being at church this morning. Now you keep staying faithful. I come to those who are struggling with finances. Your finances are caving in from everywhere. Don't jump ship. He's with you inside the boat.
Yes.
I come to the mom and dad whose child has disappointed you. Your child has shamed your name. Your child has embarrassed you in front of others, and you say, I tried to raise him right. I tried to do what's right. And I say, Mom and Dad, don't jump ship. Why? Because he's with you inside that bowl. May I come to that child whose maybe daddy or mama has done something bad, and now they've torn your name, and now you've got to carry that name around. Hey, don't jump ship. He's with you inside that boat. I come to you when your character's been attacked. Don't jump ship. Hey, why he's with you inside the boat. Hey, Christian, I come to you when you messed up your life and you think, what's the use of serving God now? May I say, even though you've messed up your life, oh, let me tell you, this is the place you need to stay. Why? Hey, this is not a museum. This is a hospital. It's an emergency room. We'll help you. We'll love you. We'll patch you up. We'll put your life back together. Hey, don't jump ship because you messed up your life. Jesus is still with you inside that boat. Thank God we serve a God that doesn't stand with us when we're good, but he stands with us when we're bad. And he says, I love you just as much, no matter what you do. No matter what storm you're facing this morning, I ask you, where's your faith? Where is your faith?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Have a faith that'll never leave me. He's right there by my side. He's alive. He knows what I feel. Walk out those doors this morning with one confidence. Where's my faith? He's right here. He's right here beside me. Thank God.
Hey.
If you're not saved this morning, you have no faith to look at. That's why storms get pretty tough when you're not saved. You have nothing to put your faith in. That's why this morning, if you're not saved this morning, you need to settle that. If for any reason, is that you have someone you can look to who'll stand with you when all else fails. Say, who is it? Jesus Christ. This church won't save you. Your religion won't save you. This man can't save you. I can't save you. No ordinance can save you. That stewardess I was talking to yesterday in the airplane, she says, raised Catholic. She says, I guess I've just always been saved. I said, no, ma'am. I said, you've not always been saved. I said, we've always been lost. I said, we're always sinners, and our sins will destine us to hell. I said, Jesus Christ, he's the only one that can save us somewhere in your life. You got to realize you're a sinner. Your sins will send you to hell, and that Jesus Christ paid for your sins. You got to go to him one time in your life. Put your faith and trust in him to save you. I said the very split second he said that you put your trust in him. Hey, that second he saves you, and he'll never leave you from that day.
Amen.
If here this morning you're not saved, in just a couple minutes, why don't you walk down these aisles and meet those the workers at the front. Let us have someone take the Bible. Show you from the Bible how to get saved. It doesn't make you a Baptist. Doesn't make you a member of any denomination. It makes you get your name written in heaven. That's all it does. I come to those this morning. I imagine a crowd of this size. And by the way, we have not discussed anything. What's going on inside this church? But I imagine under my voice this morning, there's a lot of heartache. A lot of storms. Oh, I know we come inside here. We put on a pretty good front, don't we? But the truth is, down deep inside, we're scared to death. Why don't you this morning, if you're that one in the storm, when I give that invitation this morning, why don't you be the first one to leave and go to the nearest aisle, come down the front, kneel down to this altar and say, God, thank you. Thank you for never leaving me. In the storms.
Yes,
thank you that when everything else fails, I know you're there. I know you're there. Brother Donnelly,
Have you ever felt that God's left you? Have you ever felt you're all alone? Yes, sir, I have. Let me assure you, He's not left you. He's right there with you. Where's your faith? Right there. He's in the boat. So as long as you stay inside the boat, you'll be okay. Father, this morning, all I've tried to do is try to help your people, that's all. I imagine this morning several people going through storms. The devil's not fought the way he's fought for no reason. I pray today, Holy Spirit of God, may this morning your people understand your faith. You're the faith. You're with us in the boat. May we not jump ship. May remember, you're there with us, and as long as you're there, everything's going to turn out okay. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed and no one's looking.